Today is July 19th, 2019. Still, I might add, this is episode number 519. Please note the 319s. It seems propitious. Seems something, I don't know. But this is the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO, the man with the plan, also known as Super Wayne's. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you straight to our Facebook group. Now, this being a special Friday, this is my third podcast with a young feller who is, and I had to verify this before we started recording. He is the rootinest, tootinest of them all, Andrew Orr.
Hey, I'm rootin' and tootinest, but I'm not a fashionable socialite.
No, you are a man about town. We established that during TDO. Yeah. You are a man about town, and you are also the rootinest, tootinest.
I am.
You are. Yeah. It is known. It is absolutely known. All right. So now listen, we're heading into the fall. This is like a busy time in the Apple world because Apple is busy pumping out iPad and operating system releases, including iPad OS and iOS 13. So, and here's the thing. I am doing the next rewrite of iPad for Dummies, working with Bob and Ed, but I'm doing the rewriting for the 11th edition. And that means since you've been playing with these beta releases, I need you to catch me up so that I can then write a book. Mm-hmm. That's how this works.
Am I doing your work for you?
No, you're prepping. You're briefing me for the work, you know, pre the work. But I know you've been playing with iOS 13 on your iPhone. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And iPad OS on your iPad.
Yeah. Although I ran into a couple of bugs in a previous beta release, so I haven't been using my iPad as much. So I'm more familiar with iOS 13.
So you said, wait, the previous release of iPad OS or the previous release of iOS 12 on your iPad?
iPad OS.
iPad. Oh, okay. So the public beta, you're doing the public betas, not the developer betas.
Right.
And you're saying that public beta, because we're at public beta 3 right now, and you said that you're saying that with public beta 2, you had a couple problems.
Yeah, it was basically just like when I'm writing an article, I have two, like multiple Safari tabs open. And a new thing with iOS 13 is that you can open multiple instances of an app. And that wasn't really working correctly. So I had to start using my Mac again for writing.
Oh, horror of horrors, right? First world problems?
Right.
Which is okay. You know, first of all, you know, sometimes that's a thing. Well, I was traveling when a couple of these different releases came out. I did just get public beta 3 of iPad OS installed. I haven't put it on my iPhone yet. But you know, I got to tell you that like the very first thing I noticed when I fired up my iPad after putting iPad OS public beta 3 on my iPad was the smaller icons on my home screen. Did you notice that?
I did. And I think that's been a complaint of the iPad for a while. Like you had the same row, like the same number of rows as on the iPhone. They were just spaced out more. So yeah, I'm really glad that. Yeah. So I'm really glad that Apple is taking advantage of that screen a bit better.
Yeah, I had two instant reactions. Like the first like fraction of a second was, whoa, those are small. And then immediately it was like, no, that's good. This is the way it should have been all along. Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing, I'm looking at an iPad Pro, the 11-inch. So the one that came out this fall. And I've got six icons per row. I think, what is it? Was it four before? I know, yeah. It's four on the iPhone. It may have been four or five. And then I've got one, two, three, four. It looks like there's room for six total rows. And whereas before my screen was almost full, now I've got like two and two-thirds rows left for additional icons I could put on my homepage. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a small difference, but it is, and I mean, it's probably like, I mean, it's the least of the big changes in iPad OS, but it is like an improvement. And more important, it's a symbol of how Apple is starting to let the iPad be the iPad.
Yeah. And another home screen thing that came with that was, if you, on the home screen, if you slide right, you can get the today view on the home screen with all the widgets. That's mm-hmm. where all the widgets are. So, you know, they're not two separate screens. It's just one screen this time.
Okay, now I hear that. I actually see this as a bit of a step backwards, because one thing, I can't use the desktop behind it. The desktop is blurred out, and it's less space. So, for instance, I used to have two rows of five icons in the Siri app suggestions, and now I have two rows of four, just like on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And so they're actually using, they're taking up less space, but you can't use any of the rest of the screen, so what's the point?
Yeah, and that's actually something I'm currently figuring out, because I currently have it that way, but I'm not sure how to put it back, if that's mm-hmm. even possible. I'm not sure. Like, on, you can swipe to... yeah,
keep on home screen. Yeah. So at the bottom of that sheet is edit, and then the top option is keep on home screen. So let's see what that does.
Oh.
Well, it doesn't change anything.
Oh.
Keep the today well view done. On the home screen next to your apps. So, yeah, I actually don't. I don't think that's a. I don't think that's an improvement. Because what are you gaining? Your desktop remains useless, so it's not like you're gaining that. But now there's less space, and I always enjoyed the fact that I had more Siri app suggestions on my iPad than I did on my iPhone. And now it's the same.
Yeah.
It's just, you get eight. You get two rows of four.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how they did that. Like, they kind of advanced it, but also took a step back at the same time.
Yeah, it's like a form over function thing. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if we could do? I'm not down with this one. I love the smaller icons. And then I also noticed, by the way, Andrew, and you helped me earlier. We were talking about this. The dock on the iPad, at least on the 11-inch iPad, can now hold more icons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to 10 now. So you can do, I don't know if you can do 10 and 0, but you can do, because I think it starts off with four or five, and then I added a sixth, and let me add a seventh here. There's a seventh. So then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's 9.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you get your three most recent apps on the right side of the dock separator. And then you can have up to, let's see, we're going to go 8. Let's go 8. There we go. There's 8. So I can go 8 and 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 8 in my dock. And then it's still showing me the two most recent. And then what happens if I go... If I go 9 apps in the dock, it goes 9 and 1, and then we'll go...
Okay.
Right, now we'll go 10. Huh, it'll do 10 and 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 10 apps saved on my dock, and it's still showing me the most recent.
Nice.
Should I keep going?
Yes.
Right? Why not, right? Okay, I then added an 11th, and everything got smaller, and it still keeps one recent app. So let's go with another one. This is sausage making right here. Yep, keeps going. So it looks like we can add as much as we want. and the icons in the dock will simply get smaller, and it retains one recent, your most recent app opened.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I guess. If you want a ton of stuff in your dock, I don't know that I will. I'll probably put this back after we're done recording. And then I also noticed that if you're in portrait mode, it doesn't, you can't, even though you have a ton more horizontal space, if you're, you can, it retains the same layout.
Oh, okay. I mean, that does make multitasking easier, because if you're in an app, you can swipe up on the dock and drag and drop an app and have it dual screen.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that with an app that's on the home screen, you have to, like, swipe up all the way and go to that.
And find it, yeah. That's true. That's true. It would make that. Yeah, but how many, you know, practically speaking, how many apps is your, is I mean, not even your typical user, like, how many apps is any user going to frequently use dual screen on an iPad?
Yeah.
How many apps? Like, it seems like everybody's going to have, like, you know, like two apps they use all the time, or three apps that they use all the time, or maybe even four apps that they use all the time, but not, like, all of their apps.
Right. So maybe you just put your most used apps on the dock.
Yeah, for sure. That's certainly what I will do. And I like being able to add more, and I'm glad that it shrinks down, just like the dock on the OS X, I might add. Mm-hmm. Where everything shrinks and gets smaller, and, you know, to and keeps some distance between everything, and keep it from looking cluttered, which is all of which good. By the way, I'm going to mention that Molecule is our sponsor today. I'm going to tell you all about them later. It's Molecule Air Purifier. It's a product I love. Glad that they're sponsoring us, but I'll tell you about them later. So let's do this. Let us sort of go through some of the things that we like most and least about what's going on in iOS 13 and iPadOS.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start? Because, again, this is where you're helping me with my homework.
So, a major change in iPadOS is Safari. There are a couple of new things. So, first, you can always have the browser select the desktop view. And I think that this
setting, what you mean by that is the desktop version of the site.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think this is more powerful than it was before, because you've always been able to try to get the desktop version, but it didn't always do that.
And now it defaults to the desktop version. It does not default to the mobile version, which is what iOS 12 and before did.
Mm-hmm. So up in the tab bar, if you press that A symbol, mm-hmm, with the two A's, that is where you get the website controls, where you have, if you have content blockers, if you want to see the desktop view, you can control that there.
Yeah,
or the reader view.
Rene Ritchie pointed out that it's sort of been turned on its head, because you used to be able to request the desktop version, but you had to do it every time. You couldn't, I mean, like, it wouldn't even, like, so, like, if you went to the Mac Observer every day, mm-hmm, and you wanted the desktop version of the Mac Observer every time, you would have to request it on every single page. And now it automatically gets that desktop version, but you can request the mobile version. I don't really know why you would, but you can.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I don't think I knew that.
Which iPad are you on?
I have the same one as you. I have the iPad Pro 11.
Okay, great. I was really kind of curious as to exactly what this looks like on an iPad Mini.
Okay.
And I don't have
one. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting, because I did notice when I first got my iPad, this was on iOS 12, for most websites, it did automatically give me the desktop mode most of the time.
Yeah, I think a part of that was up to the sites on how they did it, but what's changing is that Apple Apple has Safari requesting the desktop version every time. So it takes the onus both away from you and the website. Right? The website doesn't have to do it right. The website will just, you know, the request is correct now. So it's a significant, but it's a It seems like a minor tweak, but it is probably a major increase in usability.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what's your next favorite one?
So there was one more thing in Safari is now you have a download manager. And like you don't really see it unless you actually download something. Like when you clear your downloads, the button will disappear. But what's nice is that as far as I know, it works in the background. So if you're downloading something, you don't have to keep Safari or that active tab active, like up in the forefront. Right. Yeah, and you can also, this ties into something I'll talk about next. And it you can also control where the downloads folder is located. So I think the default is having it in iCloud Drive.
Okay.
But since Files supports offline storage now, you can choose to have the download folder on your local storage.
So you're saying if I've got a USB thumb drive or USB-C thumb drive or a Lightning thumb drive plugged into my iPad, that I can have things downloaded directly to that drive?
I actually haven't tested it with a external media, but I'm assuming you can do that.
Well, what because do you mean if by local you go media, then? Local drive.
Well, there's a section in the Files app called, depending on what device you have, on my iPhone or on my iPad, and you can have things stored locally there. So there, it's not on iCloud Drive; it's just there in the app. But if you go into settings, you can choose iCloud Drive on my iPhone or iPad, and then there's an other setting. So maybe you would be able to download them straight to a flash drive, for example.
We need to test that, I think that would make a fantastic article for you next week. Do you have a USB-C thumb drive you can play with? Oh no, you have an adapter, a hub.
Yeah, a hub. Yeah, so okay. Yeah, I can test that.
Sweet, excellent. Write it up. That'll be a good story.
I will put that on my list.
Fantastic. Okay, and you were saying that you had this was going to sort of play into a third thing.
Yeah. So that thing was basically what I mentioned. Files. A thing I like is that Files can now support the offline storage, which ties into both offline as in external media and offline as that special space in the Files app, which I think is nice because I had an idea to write a guide about this sometime in the future, how to live without iCloud. Like, I personally trust Apple with my files, but my files are still on someone else's servers. So I think it would be cool to have this completely local file system where you don't need iCloud.
Sure. Cool. I look forward to seeing that too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For me, I think you actually took my biggest thing, which was the iPad, the ability of Safari, and this is an iPad OS again, the ability for Safari to automatically request the desktop version of sites. That is, I do think that that's a big deal, and I am definitely glad that Apple brought that over. Right. All right. Okay. Before we move on, I'm going to tell you about Molecule. This is an air purifier. I've had mine for right about a year now. I think I got them in July. last year, and I was really concerned about getting them before the fire season started up in Northern California, because what happens is you get these forest fires, and the smoke is funneled into Silicon Valley, and Silicon Valley is just that, it's a valley, and air quality can just become outright unhealthy and dangerous. And so I really wanted to have some good air purifiers in my home before the fire season started, because there were warnings last year that the fire season was going to be really bad. And sure enough, we did get fires, and air did get really terrible in Silicon Valley, but air in my home was terrific because of my molecule air purifiers. I love these devices. I've got two of them in my home. So I'm super happy that I bought them, and I'm super happy that this company is sponsoring my podcast too. So what they have done is they developed something that they call Pico technology, and it goes beyond HEPA filtration to not just capture but completely destroy the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those that are 1,000 times smaller than a HEPA filter can trap. That is significant. And the company has made a meaningful impact for asthma and allergy sufferers. In a study of 49 allergy sufferers presented at the American College of Asthma, Allergy, and Immunology, Molecules technology provided dramatic, statistically significant, sustained symptom reduction within a week of use, a single week of use. The results have transformed lifelong allergy and asthma sufferers' lives, and one customer even told the company that she was able to, quote, breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Now, that is just fantastic. Like I said, I like mine. I like the fact that they're in silent mode. They are silent. There's two other modes that are louder if you like really want to clean up your air. But you know, once my air is clean, I put them in silent mode and I don't hear them. And that's fantastic. I love it. So here's the deal. You're listening to ACM. They're sponsoring us. And that means that you can get $75 off your first order. All you have to do is go to molecule.com. That's molekule.com. And at checkout, enter ACM as a promo code. That'll get you $75 off your first order. And again, that's molekule.com, molekule. And at checkout, make sure you enter code ACM. Very much, that's going to get you $75 off your first order. And I am, like I said, I'm super stoked these guys are sponsoring the podcast. And I love my molecule air filters. Okay, now the second half of the show, Andrew, I thought we sort of like take the opposite. All right, let me give credit where it's due. This was actually your suggestion that we come up with things that we like and don't like about iOS 13 and iPadOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to balance it out a bit.
Yeah, just to balance it out a bit. So let me start. There's a thing that I don't like, and that is the fact that that FaceTime will fake your eyes. FaceTime can use augmented reality to make it look like I'm still looking at the camera, looking at you while I'm talking to you, when instead I'm like, you know, have my eyes off in the distance, or, you know, reading something else or something. And I don't like that. For one, don't mess with my face. For another, I don't want you to lie to me. If I'm boring you, I want to see that. I want to see that so I can adjust.
Yeah, Tatsuo says this was pretty interesting. I haven't actually tested it yet. I've just read about it. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool on the surface, but I at least wish Apple would give us an option to maybe turn it on and off at will in maybe settings somewhere.
Or like turn off your ability. Well, they could not do this, but like, I want to turn off your ability to do it. I want to turn off both of our abilities to do it. I want real eye contact. If I'm going to see eye contact, I want it to be real. I don't want fake eye contact. I mean, this is like where we're headed, though. I mean, you know, like the deep fake videos are already becoming like a thing, and it's going to be a very short period of time before it's very difficult to know what's real and what's not real. So, the Face app. What was it called? App Face? Face app?
Yeah, I think it's Face app.
Yeah, the old versions of people are really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
I mean, I can kind of see Apple's point in this because, you know, if you're talking to someone and you're looking in their eyes, you feel as if you're making a connection with them.
Yeah.
Like some psychological thing.
But I want it to be real.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a fake connection. Oh, man, I really had a good conversation. Oh, yeah, man. No, she looked right in my eyes. No, she didn't. She was reading, like, Pornhub or something, or watching Pornhub, or I don't know. Whatever. Second thing, I don't like the slide out today view on iPad. It's a waste of space.
Oh yeah.
We talked about that a few minutes ago, but that would be my second feature that it's a cool step backwards.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn.
I mean, I realize this is just a beta, so things may change, but yeah, I really hope we can control that as well and be able to disable that.
Yeah, I do like the fact that it's a slide over sheet is fine. I don't need it to be a separate window. I just wanted to make use of all that horizontal space.
Yeah.
There's no reason to have all this stuff crammed up when I can't do anything with the other screen space. You can't do anything with the screen space, man. You see it. I see my blurred out. Like, what good does that do me? It does me no good. None. It's like, how much good does it do? And the answer is none. None more good. All right, go. What's yours?
All right. So I found just a couple of things I didn't like. So first, Apple, one of the bigger changes, I think, is they change the way the share sheet looks.
Okay.
A part of it is making it a bit more smarter. Like at the top, there is this like automatically refreshing. I'm assuming it's, you know, based on Siri or machine learning. It suggests mostly people, things you want to share. Like, for example, if a person appears in your photo and you share that, that person will automatically appear if they're in your contacts.
Mm.
So that's one aspect of it. Now, the other aspect is the share sheet now is like really long, especially if you have a lot of shortcuts like I do. So because before, there was just one button that said run shortcut. Mm-hmm. So you tap that and it would give you, you know, a separate dialog window.
Of all your shortcuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
But now all the shortcuts that can be accessed from the share sheet are now there in just this big giant list. And it's really annoying.
What would make a lot more sense is for you to be able to choose to include your shortcuts if you wanted.
Even though it adds an extra step, I wish they would go back to that one single button that said run shortcut. I think that makes a lot more sense.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that should be the default, and then you should, if you wanted to, you should be able to add your shortcuts if you're so inclined. But it would default to the behavior that you're currently used to. And I agree with you. From what you're describing, that seems like sort of a cool step backwards again.
Yeah.
Where and hopefully it's really just a product of you know, everything is still in testing, and you know, Apple's going to figure it out, and they'll fix it just like the today view.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope they fix both of those. Okay, what next?
So I really like dark mode. That was. Like the headlining feature, I think the first thing they shared off. It's pretty nice. It's easier on your eyes. But I hope that they make an official API for developers. I'm not sure if they have yet. So developers can tune their apps to enable dark mode at the same time as the OS. Because right now, apps that have dark mode, the ones that can turn it on automatically, they base it on like whatever your location is, and like from sunset to sunrise, but some apps do that earlier than others. So I'm assuming that maybe they get that data differently, or they use a different source of data for your location. Like, for example, Twitter, they do this, but they turn on dark mode earlier than not only iOS, but other apps that I have. So it'd be really nice if once dark mode turns on, and you can customize this in settings, every app that can use this also has dark mode enabled.
Why? I'm going to actually, I don't think Apple needs to include this in an API. I think Apple needs to simply control this. Like, it needs to be at the OS level where everything goes into dark mode at the same time, or not, if you don't have dark mode enabled, right? There's no reason whatsoever to put this on the developer side. This should be controlled by the operating system, and I'm really surprised that it's not. And again, I hope it's something that gets fixed as they march on.
Well, how would they do that though without an API? It
would just be
all the apps sync with each other.
Well, it's not a matter of syncing. It's a matter of the operating system saying, "Hey, yo, dark mode time."
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah, the apps don't need. I mean, that would actually be the ass backwards way of doing it, because that sort of like puts it on a lot of different developers to all do this stuff, and it should just be a feature of the OS where the OS says, "Hey, now it's time for dark mode," and all apps that have a dark mode switch now.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. They shouldn't be doing it at different times. That's crazy.
You would think they would already work like that, just because at my location there's only one time for sunset. So like, I'm just wondering how developers implement this. Like, what source of data are they using?
Well, that's just it. The developer shouldn't be working with any sort of data. The developer should be making a dark mode. The operating system should be flipping it. End of story.
Right.
There should be like any detection should be done at the operating system level. Now, if an individual user wanted to switch an individual app to dark mode at any given time, the individual user should also have that ability. But that's still a lot different than the app needing to know the time or sensing lighting conditions and switching stuff over. It's the operating system and the iPad that should be sensing that and switching stuff over.
Yeah, actually, that makes sense. Like what you said about sensing the ambient light, I wonder if that's what they do.
It's actually probably based on a time, because the operating system, A, knows what time it is, and B, also, through the magic of data, knows when it gets dark at each individual place. Oh. But then it can also sense ambient light.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that makes sense. If a developer can shed some light on this, please do fill us in and explain. Especially if I'm the one who's missing something, absolutely positively. set me straight. I appreciate that. But to me, this should be decided at the operating system level, and the only individual app changes that should be doable would be individual user choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's next?
Actually, that's it for me. I'm still poking around, and so far, those are the only things that I actively dislike.
Fair enough. I also like everything that I've seen so far. I was certainly excited during the keynote. I think that both of these operating systems are going to bring increased usability, despite the quibbles that we had. Very specifically, I'm excited about the fact that Apple is increasingly letting iPad be iPad.
Yeah.
And not just an iPod Super Touch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it started with iOS 11 when they did that, starting iPad only improvements.
Yeah.
And I really look forward to see how far they actually push that.
Yeah, me too. And it seems like Apple is putting all the pieces into place for that. And I mean, you know, could this be the beginning of the toaster fridge where we get an iPad that is truly designed to be either a laptop or a tablet, and I considering, you know, like it's I've noted several times that it's been a good couple of years, maybe even longer, since anyone at Apple, any of the bigwigs at Apple, have denigrated the so-called toaster fridge or even used that term. Now, part of that is probably because iPad, like, you know, no one's like hammering Apple, like, you know, when are you gonna basically make a toaster fridge? Like, no, analysts aren't doing that. Consumers don't. The media is not doing that. You know, Apple has pretty much won the tablet wars. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do feel that the fact that Apple went from denigrating, which is how Apple has always handled products that they're going to tackle with a different approach. They've always denigrated the products. They don't tend to denigrate the customer demand, the customer needs, the problems that led other companies to make those products. And Apple just stopped that stuff. And to me, that means it's likely that Apple has realized the error of its ways and is going to make more and more of that toaster fridge. I mean, we already have the toaster fridge to a certain extent with the smart keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent. And, you know, now with support for a mouse, support for input devices in iPadOS. I mean, we're almost there.
Yeah, mouse support was something that I was surprised by. Like, everyone wants it. I didn't actually think they would add that. I mean, they did make it clear that this is an accessibility feature,
yeah,
but still the feature is there.
Yeah, and it is a foundation. It's a foundation, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where things go. I don't think that this switch, I don't think that this break off of iPadOS is casual. I don't think it's just like, you know, God, everything is so different. We just better give it a different name. I think this is part of a strategic move on Apple's part to better position the iPad for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this on TDO once, but there was that interview Tim had maybe a year or two ago, and he explicitly said the iPad is our clearest vision for the future of computing. So this is probably the beginning of their plans for whatever they have planned.
Yeah. I do wonder about that. I believe very strongly that there is still a significant role for desktop computers. And when I say desktop, really what I mean is Mac, mobile, and desktop computers. I think there's a significant role to play for devices like the Mac. And I don't think the iPad is in any way, shape, manner, or form ready to replace the Mac for everybody. For some people, sure, but not for everybody.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that sometimes.
Something that I had thought of was it kind of seems like they're positioning the iPad as like the computer for everyone, and I think they even said much in commercials. But they're starting to also position the Mac as like the pro operating system, if that makes sense.
Well, that's an interesting idea. That's why I love you. It's one of the reasons why I love you, Andrew. You bring perspective that is new to me, and I very much appreciate that. You know who else I appreciate?
Who?
Molecule. They sponsored us.
That is great.
Yeah, that is great. So one more time, you can go to molecule.com, molekule.com. Enter code ACM at checkout. Get $75 off of your first order. I appreciate them sponsoring, and I appreciate you, Andrew, for being on the show today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. This was a really good discussion.
Yeah, both times. And with that in mind, that is all for this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at ACM. Write me at ACM at MacObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly. Bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that is all for this week.